and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, everybody put on their hazmat suits. We got Santorum rising. Look out.
After all the polling, I thought he was just number two.
Ooga.
But now he may be on top.
Oh, you can't get enough of it, can you? Santorum humor. Look at that. You stream Santorum rising. I'm telling you.
Wait a minute.
I'm trying to eat breakfast here.
I just think I'm going
to
miss.
I have to play for you something that Wolf Blitzer said yesterday on the Situation Room. Here it is about Santorum.
Santorum's campaign says his surge to third place in the polls in recent days is unleashing a sudden spurt in his fundraising.
Gingrich planted that, didn't he? Put Santorum.
I nearly did a spit take, you know, on my computer.
Santorum has floated almost to the very top.
Yeah.
In one poll.
In one minor poll, he has floated to the top.
To the top.
Yeah.
And there's more polling to be done, I'm sure.
He's a floaty. Okay, and then in the Des Moines Register is the most, I guess they say predictive, but he's the number two.
Yeah.
He's number two.
That's
there.
That's what I said yesterday. He's number two.
Mm-hmm. So, yay.
But he may spurt.
Yeah, there may be another last-minute spurt.
But Romney, Santorum, and Ron Paul are all within the margin of error.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excitement.
Wow.
And who has the best reporters on the ground?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, we have David Schuster, Charlie Pierce, and Richard Wolf all on the big show today. Check me out.
Whoa.
Yeah. And David and Charlie, we know for sure, are in Iowa.
Yeah.
And so we will... tonight, very exciting, 7 p.m. Iowa time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific.
Yep.
It's political geek night for me. Extra box wine. All right, so the big Iowa caucuses tonight, we've got all the latest on that, as does Mike and Raleigh.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Mitt, a born millionaire who was always full of it. In Iowa, he was shooting for a quorum, and up through the ground came a surging Santorum. Mix, that is. Black gold.
Ew.
Texas tea. Kind of.
Ew.
Well, the first thing you know, Mitt's in the winning chair. The campaign said, Mitt, get away from there. A real primary is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the bus and they went to Miami. Florida, that is. Right-wing tools, biker bars. The primary hillbilly. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Bachman and Perry. And we would like to thank those folks for their insanity. You're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of the crazy GOP. Leave your brains at the door. You all come back now, you hear?
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Can I just say, this is why we love Charlie Pierce. Some of the best stuff about the caucuses on Esquire.com from Charlie Pierce. He describes what all the rallies are like, and I love the Rick Perry one. He describes it's a room full of people wincing, waiting for the stepping to begin.
Yeah.
Oh, he stepped on his own again. Okay. There we go. And then my favorite line so far from this primary, Charlie Pierce wrote today about he saw Frank Luntz over at the counter of a restaurant trying to talk pistachio into thinking it's chocolate. All right. That's a real political geek insider
joke.
That's
right.
Okay, so we will talk to Charlie later. David Schuster, the most interesting man in the world.
Yes.
And Richard Wolf.
He does not always drink beer.
No. Okay. So, I don't. This is really... Santorum rising. There's so many layers of comedy. This headline, Santorum rises. The Santorum surge? It's hard to even say it without cracking a smile. Oh, yes. There's so many layers of comedy in the comedy lasagna. I don't even know where this story is from. The notion of former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, who, by the way, lost in a landslide to Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. I'm going, what... How is this guy the front runner? Coming out of nowhere to be a major factor in Republican presidential politics does indeed sound a bit like a practical joke being played on the political class. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. It's so awesome. Even if you didn't Google Santorum, it would be funny. The one pollster out there said the poll showed Ron Paul bleeding support fast, Romney stationary, as he always is.
Sure.
Santorum, by contrast, taking advantage of an unusually fluid electorate. to gain support at a time when it's too late. That's what they're saying. It's too late for rivals to shoot him down. No one took him seriously, so now it's too late. The ads are already,
exactly.
TV ads are already done, so it's too late for them to, you know, target. No one ever thought they'd have to target Santorum.
Yeah. Well, huh? did you hear Larry Sabato on with Bill Press just before we came on?
No, I did not.
He was saying that Santorum isn't even serious about running because he didn't turn in one signature to get on the ballot in Virginia.
Oops.
No one could be more startled than Rick Santorum that he's suddenly being taken seriously.
You know, at least Newt Gingrich, you know, turned in some signatures but didn't turn in enough to get on the ballot in Virginia. Rick Santorum
He always looks like in the wilderness edge of the stage,
just
looking like Wally Cleaver.
Well, he looks like Andy Samberg's impression of him.
So really kind of proves that he's just in it to raise his speaking fees.
Yeah.
Right.
I just love the stories about it. Santorum's time in the wilderness. at times has put on display an unmistakable edge to his personality. Yeah, he's a little bit snitty, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
With more than a trace of resentment over the fact that it's him rather than some of his more lightly qualified rivals. Again, his qualification being losing in a landslide in the last senatorial election. People of Pennsylvania roundly rejecting him, so which of course makes him automatically qualified to be president. who's had to fight to be taken seriously. In fairness, getting blown out for re-election by a 17-point margin against Democratic Senator Bob Casey did not exactly burnish Santorum's presidential potential.
It's hard to burnish Santorum.
I mean, honestly, people are saying with the way this race has gone, with a different front runner popping up every week, it's almost like luck. Yeah. It's like it's the timing that he's just the last one. He's the last not Mitt that popped up at a time that's right before the Iowa floated up right before the Iowa caucus. And that's what happened. I mean, obviously, Gingrich floated up, and there was time for them to hit him with a barrage of, just true stuff about Newt. So that people were like,
him.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Holy West.
The guy from the 90s? Anyway, so there hasn't been, but the other thing I was thinking with Rick Center, where'd he even start? He's crazy, first of all. He's crazy. Isn't he the one that another congressman says he's the dumbest congressman? He's the dumbest member of the Senate that they'd ever met.
Yeah.
His views
he's
are
like
crazy.
Donald Fife dumb.
Yeah. Yes, he's Donald Fife dumb.
Doug.
Exactly.
Douglas
Doug. Fife. Doug Fife, pardon me. I'm sorry. I was melding Rumsfeld and Fife into
it. And Donald Duck, I think, somewhere got in there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah.
Be a monkey's uncle. My stars and garters.
This is the kind of lunatic they generally they pick in Iowa, isn't it? Rick Santorum,
There's a large evangelical Republican base in Iowa. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
All right. Mitt Romney taking his shot at the Santorum.
Like Speaker Gingrich, Senator Santorum has spent his career in the government in Washington.
I don't know. This is, and by the way, and then Santorum used the same line Newt Gingrich did about Romney, where he said, well, he would have been a career politician, except he failed at it.
Yeah.
He's been running and losing for so long. And I'm like, boys, don't fight. You're both losers. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I believe in an opportunity nation, a merit society.
Oh, God.
Right.
Did you watch a Hardball yesterday? Chris Matthews played this montage. What was he doing? He was quoting some patriotic song, and he could not look like a bigger nudnik. He doesn't even come close to approximating anything even close to sincerity. He was quoting, I know, he's like, Amber waves of grain. I don't know if that's the kind of grain you have here in Iowa. I guess it's corn.
Wow. What?
Chris Matthews is like, oh, God. This is why people
it's
hate
Bobby
politicians.
Again. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez. He was like, it's that kind of, what's the guy in My Fair Lady used to do the kind of talking because he couldn't really sing.
I'm as corny as Kansas in August, except I'm in Iowa, which is even cornier, which is a kind of grain, like amber waves of grain. You know, beer's made with grain, but I don't drink beer, although I am the most interesting man in the world.
What?
Oh, boy.
Is every thought he has focus grouped to within an inch of its life?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yes.
It's just, let me sound corny and American, and here's, it's just...
God.
Oh, I mean, you just look at the faces in the crowd. You're like, really? Oh, really? Oh, all right, Romney.
This president's failed. He went on the Today Show shortly after being inaugurated, and he said, if I can't get this economy turned around in 3 years, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition. I'm here to collect. We're going to take it back. We're going to take it back.
Woof, woof, woof.
Woof.
Yeah, I let the dogs out.
After I put him in a carrying case on the top of the station wagon, I let him out.
All right. And he's busting out the Mrs. Romney these days, Ann Romney.
Yeah.
I sense a feeling, a coalescing, a momentum, or whatever it is you want to call it.
Sure.
Around Mitt. And I think people are starting to figure out that this is the guy that is going to beat Barack Obama.
Boy, wow. Well, yay.
I think he will be the nominee, but he's not going to beat Obama.
No.
No.
I sense a something. Coalescing. You know, she didn't want to say surge.
He's going
to.
No. Yeah. I mean, he's going to run on job creation and how Obama's been a miserable failure. All Obama's do is point out what he did to destroy American jobs and get them overseas.
Again, and, Charlie Pierce wrote a great piece about how, you know, even on MSNBC, someone was, they were making an analogy to swift voting of John Kerry to getting a lot of these employees that have been laid off at companies that Mitt Romney ran. And Charlie's like, the big difference is they were all lying about John Kerry.
Right.
All
real.
These workers that were laid off were laid off because of Mitt Romney.
Oh, but that's so negative.
It's so negative. True. Talking about the truth of his job creation record, that's just rude.
Oh, that's just rude. Saying the truth about something I did.
All right. So much more from the Iowa caucus
Golly
tonight.
Golly, willikers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, shucky darn.
He's borrowing all Herman Cain's.
Oh, no.
999.
Yes, but saying
they're
it in the lightest way possible.
They're apples in the catchphrase bin. Oh. It's like, I'm not going to use them anymore. Go ahead. You want shucky darn?
It's apples and oranges, my friend.
Oh, God.
They just start recycling each other's.
Yeah.
All right.
They're in the cutout bin by the door.
Along with Victor the Victory Elephant in 2008. That's half off. You know what? Just take it. We're all rich.
We'll pay you to get rid of it.
All right.
Put him in a landfill or something.
All right.
We don't want to see him.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
So that's where that came from. Yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. On the day of the Iowa caucuses, yay! Okay. We will check in with David Schuster and Charlie Pierce next hour, who are both on the ground there in Iowa.
Yep.
Okay, so again, Santorum rising. Santorum surge. Fill in your own jokes.
That joke's not going away until he gets out of the race.
No. Rick Santorum. Yes.
CEOs assign people who work for them. I can tell you, as a senator, I did not work for the president. And Congress doesn't work for the president. The American people don't work for the president. It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what's your point?
He's kind of dumb.
Exactly.
Wait.
What?
Charlie Pierce, his last piece on being at a Santorum rally and talking to two voters in the back. It's a big, long piece, and they're discussing the issues, and Santorum leaves, and the guy just goes, well, that guy's an idiot.
All right, but he's number two.
Yes, we're number two. Okay, Rick Santorum.
Governor Romney's a good man. I think he's conservative on a lot of issues, but I think that Americans are looking for someone that's been more consistent, has a better track record of appealing as a conservative to voters that we need.
I'm as consistent as a human being can be.
You know what? He is just a social conservative. He's not really a fiscal conservative.
That's what Ron Paul's been pointing out.
Yeah.
Is that he voted for every earmark and leading the bridge to nowhere.
So he's not a consistent conservative.
No.
Not in the least.
No, he's just in the kind of gay-bashing
exactly.
Anti-choice way that they like.
Yeah.
Mm. I just love this one. Rick Santorum says he only endorsed Mitt Romney because he didn't like John McCain.
In 2008.
Because, Mitt Romney, reminded voters that Santorum endorsed him back in 2008. Santorum defended his endorsement to Wolf Blitzer, pointing out he made it as late as in the 2008 race as possible, and only because he was looking for literally anyone who was better than John McCain. Mediaite says, that's weird. It's basically the same reason people are now flocking to him.
Yeah.
It's just so entertaining to sit back and realize that they just all hate each other, and they all hate all of their candidates, basically. Romney had also attacked Santorum for being a Washington insider. As I was saying earlier, Santorum responded by telling Blitzer the only reason Romney wasn't a career politician is because he failed at it. Oh, boys, don't fight. You're both big losers.
And relatively pretty.
Yeah. Rick Santorum, shinier.
He is shiny. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Does he need a little powder?
Rick Santorum, powder pop.
We are not looking for a chief executive officer for this country. We're looking for a commander-in-chief.
Well, we have one.
Yes.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. And I'm quite happy with him.
Yeah. He's,
and I want him to stay.
Yeah. He said something about the president being a foreign policy disaster or the worst. It's like, what? He's had a string of foreign policy victories that you can't really argue with, but okay. All right, Santorum.
I'm asking you to not settle for someone who is your nominee, who might be able to win the election, but the election would be a Pyrrhic victory.
Ooh. There's a big word.
Yeah, does he know what a Pyrrhic victory is?
No.
My handlers told me to say that. I don't know what I mean.
They make me sound smart.
He's just as dumb as Rick Perry, but better spoken for some reason.
Yeah.
He can hide it better.
He can pull out the occasional big word.
Yeah, and then, it just did a lot of whining. A lot of, he accuses Bill O'Reilly of refusing to interview him because he wasn't worthy.
Oh. He's shiny and whiny.
Yes. Rick Santorum, shiny and whiny. He's started lashing out at the media, both conservative and liberal. He was on the Mike Gallagher radio show, accused the elite media of having a general attitude they know better than voters. So pervasive, even appeared on Fox News. What? And accused Bill O'Reilly of refusing me to put him on his program.
Hmm.
Bill O'Reilly apparently will address those comments tonight.
Oh, he already did last night.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Did he do it live?
Yes, he did it live.
Oh, well, you'll tell me what he said next. 29 minutes.
It will actually be in Right-Wing World.
Well, let's do that then. This show is really kind of put together on the fly.
Yeah.
Back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's why we always tell you, when you drink, you make bad decisions.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 34 minutes after the hour. Pardon moi. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, where we're on the air now, and in Washington, D.C. Woohoo! Hello, Sue.
Hey, hooray, and Happy New Year to all of you.
You too.
And yes, can you imagine D.C. and Montgomery County, Maryland, a progressive area, all Dems, we finally got a progressive station.
Well, yes, looky there.
Amazing. Listen, I just coined a new word yesterday called Luncify. So it's a combination of falsify and Franklin. So every time you hear a Luncify word spewing from the Republicans or Fox News, you get to have a drink.
Okay.
Like a job creator, for example.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, honey. Spread the word in D.C.
Will do.
All right, honey. There we go. All right. So you were talking about Rick Santorum's whining.
Yes.
Oh, he was whining not just about Bill O'Reilly, but about Ron Paul negative robocalls.
Yeah.
Baby doesn't like it at the top.
No, he doesn't.
You don't like to criticize me?
Yeah, I don't think he ever expected to get to the top.
No.
No. Seriously.
I didn't think I was going to float to the top.
No.
I thought I was going to stay at number two.
Number two.
No.
The entire time.
It's baby's first number one.
I'm not number
Yay
two anymore.
Yay for baby. Yay. Good boy. Rick Santorum just accused Ron Paul supporters of being behind negative robocalls suggesting he's anti-Second Amendment. He said someone is out making robocalls suggesting I'm anti-Second Amendment, adding that voters should tell whoever's doing that, Ron Paul, to stop. Oh, baby. I love, they're all so whiny when they get to be the front runner. Yeah. And they're like, what? This is not.
You're not allowed to criticize me.
You're not allowed to scrutinize me.
What is happening in politics?
Hey.
You can't ask me questions I don't want to answer.
Stop looking at the Ron Paul newsletter. Why would Ron Paul have anything to do with the Ron Paul newsletter? Stop it.
Oh, and by the way, Michelle Bachmann was on CNN's New Morning Show this morning.
Yes.
And Soledad O'Brien was asking her about her views on homosexuality. Hmm. And Michelle Bachmann said, well, that's a gotcha question from the past.
What do you say? Are you trying to imply my husband's gay?
What are you insinuating?
Gosh, I've said too much. Okay.
You can't ask me about things I've said.
Stop showing pictures of Marcus with the corn dog. Stop it.
Stop showing that picture of us. Stop showing the picture of him waving at the Iowa caucus. Stop showing us dancing.
Hi.
Stop showing him dancing.
June is busting out all over.
By the way, kind of every picture of Marcus Bachmann is a gotcha picture. Just their posed family portrait. Could not look gayer.
Hello?
Didn't we post it?
Yeah, he looks like a gay face. Colonel Sanders.
I'm finger-licking good.
Please this punch to be sitting here with my wife.
My lovely wife.
That's Hubert Humphrey.
Who I have intercourse with. Lots.
I love her boobs. They're just the most great bags of sand I've ever touched. Okay. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? All right. Bill Riley on the Iowa caucus.
Mitt Romney polling better in Iowa because the perception that he is the strongest candidate against President Obama. That his economic experience would appeal to a wide variety of voters. The factor expects Governor Romney to do well tomorrow.
Well,
Gingrich fading in the polls because of the beating his image is taking. There's no question the speaker knows enough to be president, but his past frightens some voters.
Frankly. Voters are frightened?
Yeah, just by learning the facts.
Yes.
Of Newt Gingrich's past. Yes. All right, so here's Rick Santorum, baby whining about Fox News.
You know, I've seen the media just completely try to shape this race. And it's not just the liberal media. I mean, it's even Fox News. Oh. You know, Bill O'Reilly has refused to put me on his program. I'm just not, as far as he was concerned, I wasn't a worthy enough candidate to earn a spot to sit across with him and be on his program. Here you have folks supposedly in the conservative media who are saying, you know, well, we're going to choose who we think they're going to win. And then complain that the mainstream media does the same thing.
So he's admitted that Fox is the conservative media.
Yeah. What? Uh-oh. Yeah. Oops.
Well, that was for fair and balanced.
And O'Reilly addressed that last night. He said that in the past, Santorum hasn't had the polls enough to come on the show.
Yes.
But really, neither has Michelle Bachmann. And Michelle Bachmann's been on The Factor quite a few times. So what O'Reilly said last night did not ring true.
No. Exactly. And Newt Gingrich was nowhere in the polls either.
Exactly.
And he was on there all the time.
Exactly.
Hmm. Oh, baby, maybe you're right about this one.
He's still shiny.
He's incredibly shiny. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's shiny and whiny. Okay, Joe Scarborough.
The Republican Party, just like I said, when Newt Gingrich is at 38-39%, wasn't going to stand for that. They're not going to stand for the guy that has a 24% ceiling walking away with a nomination. Anybody that thinks that it's going to be over after Iowa and New Hampshire if Romney wins does not understand the conservative base. There will be blood if Mitt Romney seems like the guy that's going to walk away with it.
And I will drink your milkshake.
Yay! There will be blood. By the way, there was another Scarborough story. He had our friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz on.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't let her talk.
Yeah.
Mika tried to speak up for her and let her answer, but nope.
Oh, to refute Michael Steele's clap crap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Debbie, you're always welcome on our show to finish your thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. Judson Phillips on, he's the Tea Party guy.
Tea Party founder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On Martin Bashir.
The Tea Party will never rally behind Mitt Romney. You know,
really?
Iowa is just the first. Never. I think I've told you this before. We've done surveys on our site where it shows one-third to one-half of the Tea Party members will not vote for Mitt Romney if he's the nominee in the general election, which is probably going to encourage Team Obama to start sending out more people to help vote for Romney in the primaries. But, you know, Iowa is just the first step in this whole process.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
sounds like there will be blood in the streets if
there
Romney,
will be blood.
If Romney gets the nomination. Yay, go Romney.
Do you think, and if he does do well, do you think there'll just be people screaming, he's a Mormon! Ah! He's a Mormon!
They'll have to say it out loud.
He's not a Christian!
Yeah, yeah, the God Warriors.
He's dark side!
He's not a Christian! That'll be... We're going to play that tomorrow as a woman leaving the Iowa caucus. He's not a Christian! He's dark-sided. Ain't he? Okay.
For a white guy, I'm dark-sided.
She is dark-sided, too! That means Anne,
too.
She's also dark-sided. Okay. Oh, God. Really? I'm a God warrior! Oh!
Ah.
Yikes. Okay. I'm for shiny and whiny.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. I miss her.
They put her on meds.
No, she actually came to her senses and is, you know, living a happy life now.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, good.
Yeah, so
okay.
That had a happy ending.
Awesome. What have I done to you that you must voice the Sarah Palin soundbite on me?
Oh, well, she was on Neil Cavuto, so, you know.
Must you make Jim's hit the back of his throat? Must you?
I'm getting pretty sick and tired of people condemning and cutting down Donald Trump for calling it like he sees it and exercising his right as an American to express his views, even via talking about a third-party candidacy. I couldn't do that because I believe personally that a third-party candidacy will allow some greater assurance that Barack Obama would be reelected, and that's the last thing on earth I want to see happen.
Some greater assurance?
So, So she praised Donald Trump for talking about a third-party candidacy,
right,
but also
slammed third-party candidacy.
Does she know that she did that?
No.
Can I just say one thing?
She has
what a
no
bunch of ass clowns populate this party today. Seriously.
I can't believe you attacked him for talking about third-party candidates when third-party candidates will ruin our chances.
I got a grammar Nazi. I need to hear that again.
Okay.
I need to hear the assurance of the thing.
I think she meant assurance.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty sick and tired of people condemning and cutting down Donald Trump for calling it like he sees it and exercising his right as an American to express his views, even via talking about a third-party candidacy. I couldn't do that because I believe personally that a third-party candidacy will allow some greater assurance that Barack Obama would be
elected.
That's the last thing on earth.
She said it right. I thought, but you're right. It sounded more like an assurance.
She
just
joined the chorus of people condemning
Donald Trump.
Yes.
So she was, using her freedom of speech to condemn Donald Trump for writing a third-party candidacy,
which she just criticized for doing
she
proceeded to do.
And by the way, via talking about that's not proper grammar. Also via, in terms of, in addition
Italian
to
for
also
word salad.
All right. Okay. Because, by the way, I'm with her on usherance because I'm a big Usher fan, so that's different.
Let's crank you the one to please.
Yeah. Usher and Ludacris. Usher and Ludacris.
Yeah.
I like a greater usherance myself.
We need some more usherance.
Okay. David Barton,
he's a far-right preacher.
This is regarding...
He was preaching on TV.
Okay.
We're told in the scriptures in Exodus 18:21, God says, choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, thousands. Leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands.
What?
That's elect your local, county, state, and federal leaders. Scripture says, choose able men such as fear of God, men of truth, hating covetousness, men who will rule in the fear of God. God set off elections at the very beginning. Article 4, Section 4 says that when we have elections in America, we get to choose leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. We get to choose local, county, state, federal. That's a biblical precept.
Wow.
So elections are in the Bible.
Wow.
Hmm.
I don't... Huh? Can we go back to the... What was the radio show yesterday?
Oh, the Americans for Truth
About homosexuality. Radio show.
Yeah.
Was Marcus Bachman a guest?
That was Peter LaBarbera.
I should change the name of the show to that, because we're that, too. Okay. All right. That was scrambly. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Martin. All right. 45. That kind of right-wing world sort of petered out.
I think he was trying to make the point that the United States is a Christian nation founded in the Bible.
Oh. Yes, well, he's wrong.
Okay. Very, very wrong.
Yes, okay.
At the time the Bible was written, there were no such thing as Americans as we know them.
Yes, exactly.
The continent didn't have that name yet. It was named after Amerigo Vespucci, who's Italian.
I think he seems to think that the Constitution was in the Bible. And yeah,
he's that's
very,
what he was doing. Yeah, he was getting his Bible in my Constitution.
Yeah, yeah. So he's very, very
yeah,
wrong.
He was like Ecclesiastical Article 4, Section 3. What?
It's the Code of the Bible.
Wait a minute. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Checking in with David Schuster on the ground in Iowa.
Yes.
Just after the top of the hour. Very exciting. Most interesting man in the world.
He's now our coworker.
I know it. He has a weekend show on our new Washington, D.C. affiliate.
That's right.
And I say yay.
I know, right?
He's really good on the radio. Yeah, proving that we on the progressive side, we get really good fill-in hosts that threaten our jobs instead of the sucky right-wing fill-ins.
Right.
No, I've heard him filling in for Bill Press. He's really,
he
really good. So
awesome.
Take a listen to his weekend show on our D.C. affiliate, which is, what's the dial position?
1480.
Thank you. Thank you, Crystal Boy. Thanks for whipping that out.
You mind if I whip this out?
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that would like a Wolf Blitzer radio show so he can... Because you know what? The TV doesn't allow you nearly enough time to blurt out embarrassing things.
No,
3 hours a day of radio, trust me.
Santorum's campaign says his surge to third place in the polls in recent days is unleashing a sudden spurt in his fundraising.
No, Blitz. I don't think you know what you just said.
No, Blitz. No, Blitz.
No, Blitz.
So you have to wonder, was that inadvertent, or is there a scamp in the teleprompter department?
Probably. There's a scamp in the teleprompter department. Someone who listens to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, I just picked them rolling, laughing their ass off in the control room.
Probably one of those animators.
He said it!
You know what? Since Wolf Blitzer's show is based in D.C., I'll bet you they were listening to us yesterday morning on our new D.C. affiliate.
There you go.
And they had it in their mind.
I bet it was one of those animators from Disney who put in obscene, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the former news writers for Tom Brokaw of NBC Nile. The news that would put stories with L's in on purpose.
Yeah. Allegedly. So that I'm the horse of it. Alive in Lillehammer.
I don't think Slobodan Milosevic was ever in Lillehammer.
In Sarajevo.
In fact, I think those teleprompter writers at NBC, they set Mary Kay Letourneau up with, you know.
Lillehammer.
Just so Tom Brokaw would have to report.
Lillehammer.
Well, you like better.
He apparently was with Lola Falana previously.
Previously.
Before Mary Kay.
And Lola Falana, Angel.
And Lily Ledbetter.
Oh, God.
That's when Tom Brokaw quit, when the Lily Ledbetter story.
Lily Ledbetter. I quit.
Ah, Lord. All right.
They met at Lollapalooza. Who?
Yes.
Yeah. I met Olaf and Lily Ledbetter at Lollapalooza.
All right.
I'm going into print journal.
All right. Okay. Is it hard for me even to write letters?
No, Blitz. No, Blitz.
No, Blitz. Don't say spurt and surge and centaurum all in the same sentence.
That's hilarious.
Oh, no, Blitz.
No, Blitz.
No. Oh, Blitz. All right. Yeah. Oh, God. Why must they report? Why must we pay attention to Donald Trump, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Donald Trump to Fox News, I have my ducks in a row for a third-party run.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's almost like he likes just attention of some sort.
Yeah. Is this your first clue?
Yeah, wow. It just occurred to me. He shared that he likes the idea of making America great again. Okay, there's a new idea. Adding later that the current Republican field reflects a certain madness. See, he needs to restore the sanity when he was in the clown car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, back when it was a really serious field when he was in it. And Herman Cain and... current feel. You know what? He, like most of the other Republicans, he just hates Ron Paul, I think, with the heat of a thousand white hot suns. He said, I think that when somebody like Ron Paul gets such a large percentage of the vote potential, I look at the polls, I think it's absolute madness to even think about it. Oh, no, you're right. Ron Paul's crazy. But then, so are you. He made it clear that when it comes to running himself, I do have my ducks in a line if I want to do it, but I'd love to see the Republicans pick somebody that was going to win and take over this country and, frankly, to use the expression, make America great again.
Oh, God.
Any word on who that is? Romney? Does he mean Romney? Is he the only one that, I don't know, Donald Trump keeps threatening if they don't pick the right one. I don't know who the right one is. I can't tell.
Right and writer. Who's the rightest of the right?
Exactly. All right, Ron Paul on CNN.
He's very liberal.
Rick Santorum's liberal?
Oh, I mean, have you looked at his record?
Uh-huh.
Go look at his record. I mean,
what makes him liberal?
He spends too much money. I mean, he wasn't leading the charge to slash the budgets and vote against big government.
I just love him. He reminds me of Art in Chicago.
Yeah. Plus, he doesn't hate black people. So.
Exactly.
What did I say?
His voice gets really high. It's a bike cracky. Rick Santorum. Wow. In what world are we living in? Rick Santorum is really liberal. What?
Wow.
Yeah. He spends too much. That's what he was saying. He wasn't leading the charge to slash budgets.
He believes in fire departments.
Fiscally, compared to Ron Paul, I suppose he's liberal.
Yeah.
But he's not liberal in the social sense whatsoever. Yeah.
He believes in women and gays not having any rights, just like you. I mean, you know, come on. There's something to like in shiny and whiny, isn't there? Okay. Ron Paul.
Are we sick and tired of the expansion of government, the endless spending and the deficits, doing the things they weren't supposed to do, and forgetting about doing the things they should be doing?
I can't wait to talk to Charlie Pierce about Rand Paul, who he saw speak for his dad in Iowa. He said, Rand Paul, who's not very bright and deeply weird.
Most deeply weird people are intelligent. You can be dumb and deeply weird.
Can we start with Rand Paul's wardrobe yesterday? He had on this sweater, V-neck sweater thing with a burgundy turtleneck. It was just the weirdest looking.
He was overclothed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which tribble was he wearing on his head?
It was the fluffy tribble.
Oh, Steve. Please, the winter white V-neck.
Oh, awful. With an ascot. Steve in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I've been listening to you guys for a while now,
and
I'm a Republican, but I tell you, I think that everybody that's up there is a loser. I don't think that any of them has anything to run on, and from what I've seen, you know, they're going to do, you know, whatever they want to do, and they're not going to do anything. They're going to lie, I guess, is basically what I'm going to say, just like all of them.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Right.
Yeah, I got to say, so it's not just me, right? It's a bad year to be a Republican, right?
Well, it seems like they're all in it to raise their speaking fees. That's the only reason they're in it.
Well, I mean, they're not even worth that.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do, Steve? Who are you going to vote for?
I tell you, they're so bad that I might switch parties.
Woo! Yay. Yeah, welcome aboard. Yay, welcome to the light. Cool. All right, 15 minutes after the hour. We'll take them however we get them. All right, right back with David Schuster live on the ground in Iowa next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Our caucuses are all a tingle, aren't they, Jim?
Beg your pardon.
I
didn't know you had one.
Yes. Just grew one for Iowa. Okay. Hey. It's Iowa caucus night. We're all excited. And Mike in Raleigh is a machine. It's his for lobbyist Newt Gingrich.
Let's all vote with our lobbyist. Let's all vote with our lobbyist. Let's all vote with our lobbyist. And get ourselves a treat.
Whee!
He's
not just a lobbyist. He's a paleontologist /
amateur
historian.
Paleontologist.
Yeah. And a professional.
A-hole. Yes.
Okay. Hey, kids. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Thank you for giving us the number one comedy album on iTunes and Amazon. Get it. Get it fast. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1. Get it. And also live in Portland this Saturday. A very few tickets left. I believe that's going to sell out. Hurry, get those. Philly, February 4th. Tickets going fast everywhere. Phoenix already sold out. Sorry. Chicago going fast. Albuquerque almost sold out. Madison sold out. Sorry. And on and on and on. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook, Sexy Liberal Twitter.
Or sexyliberal.com.
Okay. All right, let's. Speaking of Iowa and sexy liberals, well.
Countdown contributor David Schuster joins us now from Washington.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, David Schuster.
Good morning. Regards from Des Moines, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I have been singing your praises and your new weekend radio show on 1480 AM in Washington, D.C., our brand new affiliate.
Yeah, we're so excited. We Act Radio, great station, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And you're, of course, a part of the weekday lineup, and I've got a weekend show on Saturdays called Take Action News.
Yay!
Yay, which is all about trying to explain the news to what's happening in government and politics and sort of how it affects the residents of the District of Columbia and regular sort of ordinary citizens. And then the other thing we're going to do is empower people and say, here's how you can influence the outcome and the things a lot of folks can do very easily to change the course of stories.
Awesome. So awesome. I was saying that's the difference on the left. We get really good fill-in hosts that threaten to take our jobs away, unlike the right wing that gets really sucky fill-in hosts. Because I've heard you fill in for Bill Press. I'm like, wow, he's good.
Oh, wow, you're very kind. No, Stephanie, if our show is even a tenth as interesting and fun as yours, we'll consider it a success.
Oh, I'll send you my my fart button. All right.
Oh, God.
Stop it. David Schuster, what's happening in Iowa? You're in Des Moines.
Well, I'm convinced, Stephanie, that if the Iowa caucuses were a week from today instead of today, Lyndon LaRouche.
John Ruckhoff,
I mean,
delighted.
So fluid, and it's, I think everybody gets a turn being atop the Iowa caucuses. So Rick Santorum, there he was yesterday. Somebody asked him about Alan Colmes' criticism of, you remember the story several years ago, Rick Santorum lost a baby in childbirth and then brought the baby home to sort of show the rest of the family.
Oh,
and Alan Colmes was talking about how sort of strange and weird that was, and Rick Santorum was asked about it and started tearing up yesterday. Now, obviously, it's incredibly unfortunate whenever anybody loses a child, and I don't think that was what Alan Colmes was, was mocking or anything like that, but still, it just goes to show, I mean, the whole thing has become so weird out here, very sort of emotional, whether it's Rick Santorum crying yesterday or Newt Gingrich 2 days ago when he was talking about his mother and the Alzheimer's and depression that she had at the end of her life. It's really strange. I mean, all of a sudden you see these Republicans and start to feel, a little bit of sort of compassion for them, and yet in their policies they have absolutely no compassion for anybody. Once you're born, there's no compassion for you at all.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of in strange juxtaposition.
Yeah, I know. That the Gingrich story, I had to say, because a woman in the crowd said, "Well, it made me feel like you're really compassionate." It's like, yes, I'm sure the two wives that he left when they got sick would share her feelings. I mean, it's incredible, this field this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And, the one thing one saving grace is I think that, talking to folks here in Iowa, they're actually feeling a little bit some relief compared to 4 years ago, and that the ad spending is actually down. I mean, they're only running about 15% as many ads. I mean, it doesn't, here at the end, you hear them all the time and whatnot, but at least it hasn't been quite as intense as 4 years ago, in part because the Republicans don't have as much money or aren't spending as much money this time as they were 4 years ago. So there's a certain intensity that this time doesn't seem to sort of feel compared to 4 years ago. And in some sense, Iowans are kind of relieved that it just feels like it's been a shorter campaign than previous Iowa caucuses in some sense.
Yeah, mercifully. Now, David, what is the latest polling you've seen? Because, Chris was saying there was one poll that actually had Santorum on top, so to speak.
Yeah, a lot of the internals now, the candidate's internals, are suggesting that Santorum, I mean, he's been surging. If you look at the polling that was done, say, most of the polls are done over 3 or 4 days. And if you look at the last 2 days of those numbers, Santorum is sort of surging and on top. The Romney campaign, though, what they have is, I mean, they have incredible sort of organization. I think the Romney campaign knows sort of exactly you know, where their votes are going to come from and how they're going to do. The question is, you know, the Santorum campaign, which is a little more sort of haphazard, doesn't have, I think, quite that same amount of information. So it's possible Santorum, you know, rides the wave and does very well tonight. But I think what's so baffling to me, Stephanie, is, you know, you're talking about maybe 120,000 people will participate in the Iowa caucuses. So you win this thing. If you've got 35,000 people who come out in caucus for you tonight, you win. I think that's crazy.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, and that's why, and again, you know, many people have mentioned, David, why do we make such a big deal out of the Iowa caucuses? They very rarely pick the winner of the actual nomination, right?
Yeah. I mean, what about President Huckabee or, you know, President Robertson or, you know, on and on. I mean, you know, I think it's one of these media creations. And unfortunately, the media and the candidates both sort of play along because it's an opportunity to sort of have this kind of test run. And I suppose there is something to having a group of people, whether it's Iowa, New Hampshire, or whatever, that, you know, vet the candidates and meet them one-on-one and see how they do sort of in the pizza parlors and diners and how they handle the town halls. I think there's some value to that. But I'm not sure that Iowa is sort of the best demographic for either party in terms of trying to test that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one I'm looking at, the Des Moines Register poll released this weekend showed, let's see, it was Romney, hang on, so Ron Paul was 2 points behind. It was Romney at 24 and Ron Paul at 22, and then I think Santorum was in third in that one. I mean, what is just your sense as to where we are today?
I think my sense is that I still have a feeling that Romney's going to pull this out. I just feel like, I mean, his organization, his sophistication of his get-out-the-vote effort, it's really sort of unprecedented compared to the other candidates. I mean, Rick Santorum, a very sort of small staff. It's hard to know. I mean, if you're in, you know, Indianola, Iowa, and you suddenly, you know, find somebody who needs a ride to the polls, well, you know, Rick Santorum's campaign will have somebody there in a limousine for you. Rick Santorum, I don't even know if you can get a hold of somebody to do that. So it's just the organization is very different. And I think the Ron Paul support is also overstated. I mean, Ron Paul is sort of counting on these independents and moderates and Democrats who can participate in the Iowa caucuses. If you show up tonight and say, okay, I want to be Republican, and you're allowed to participate, and I think Ron Paul's counting on a large number of those. I don't think those people exist. I mean, there's some great kind of anecdotal evidence from talking to David Yepsen, the former columnist of the Des Moines Register, who was describing how 4 years ago, I mean, there was one neighborhood where he lived where, you know, 45 Ron Paul signs in this one neighborhood, but only one person ended up actually caucusing for Ron Paul. So I think...
Well, wait, David, you know, explain that to me, because I know there was a story about, you know, that he had this big overflow crowd yesterday. You know, so you're looking at size of the crowds and all of that. But somebody mentioned that they asked, like, you know, how many people in the first few rows were from Iowa, and only, like, one guy raised his hand. So, I mean, are you saying those?
But
people from out of state can vote?
No, they're not allowed to vote. I mean, you have to be an Iowa resident, but there are a lot of people from out of state who are obviously participating and volunteering. And one of the things that you sort of see, whether it's Newt Gingrich or Ron Paul in particular, is a certain sort of curiosity factor that every time these folks have an event, there are a huge number of people who show up, I think, just because they're curious. I mean, you want to see the former Speaker of the House. You want to see this Ron Paul guy, and, you know, what is he all about? And so you do find a lot of people from out of state who are here just because of the spectacle. And even you find a lot of, you know, you'll find several people in the room who may be from this particular town or community where the event is, but you ask them, do you support Ron Paul, do you support Newt Gingrich, and they say, well, I'm undecided. And people who are generally sort of undecided at the end, and they're actually going to an event, they're going to the event just because it's an event. It's a spectacle, not because they're going to support the candidate. It's sort of like, you know, the circus comes to town, you want to see it, you don't necessarily want to join the circus.
Yeah. Well, particularly in this case, I mean, that's the thing with the Ron Paul supporters. I mean, you just, because he can be so right on some issues, but they just, what is it about their ability to just ignore all his truly crazy stances on other things?
Yeah, and the irony is that, you know, watching sort of the Republicans and the way they're sort of carrying out this fight, they're not, it's sort of shocking in a way, they're not arguing over his crazy pamphlets or his homophobia or, you know, racist stuff that, you know, was said in his name. They're arguing over, you know, Ron Paul's sort of decision that, or announced policy that he would pull troops, you know, from all over the world and bring them home, which, you know, there's a certain rationale and a legitimate argument to that. And so there you have Rick Santorum, you know, trying to say, well, I'm going to be much more sort of hawkish, you know, I'm going to bomb Iran, which is what Rick Santorum said on Meet the Press, that if he had any sort of information that Iran was, you know, trying to build a nuclear weapon, we'll just go ahead and launch airstrikes. Mm-hmm. And that covert action isn't enough because it's too covert. Well, I mean, all right, talk about a way of inviting a World War III. That's, you know, Rick Santorum. But, you know, but his way of sort of appealing to Iowa conservatives and saying, look, you can't trust Ron Paul because he's too pacifist. And then you have the Ron Paul campaign saying, well, Rick Santorum's got a happy trigger figure in its finger. And it's just, you know, it's right. A fascinating debate to watch.
Well, you know, they always say this, that, you know, particularly for the Iowa caucus, they got to go so far right and then they go back to the middle to run. But it's just how do they walk back from a lot of these truly crazy right wing things that they've said during this primary?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's going to be, and that's where I think in some way, I mean, you know, let's just assume that Mitt Romney sort of wins the nomination, which I think is sort of the bet right now, that Mitt Romney's eventually, whether it's early, whether it's late, he's going to eventually win this nomination. You look at some of the things that he has said, you know, corporations are people too, and you know, you sort of go on and with the statements about, I mean, just, you know, the videos that exist, you compare what he has said in this campaign to what he said and when he ran against Ted Kennedy and was to the left of Ted Kennedy in abortion rights. I mean, it's just, you know, the guy is an incredible sort of flip-flopper, and you just sort of believe that the Democratic National Committee, the Obama campaign, they are salivating. They just cannot wait to unload on this guy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. David, what's your sense on who's number two tonight?
I think number two will probably, my sense is probably going to be Mitt Romney and then Rick Santorum, perhaps a close number two. And what, you know, there's nothing Mitt Romney would like more than for Rick Santorum to either, you know, to be in the top three, because it essentially has the effect of knocking out either Newt Gingrich or Rick Perry. I think Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry, they're the ones who really have some sort of staying power nationally. It's why Mitt Romney is continuing to run ads against Newt Gingrich, not only in Iowa, but in South Carolina and Florida. I mean, the Romney campaign is starting to open fire, and I think it just sort of goes to show that they're worried that the one person who the conservatives might decide to try to coalesce around who could have some national staying power would be Newt Gingrich. And so to the extent that Rick Santorum takes away Gingrich's thunder and Rick Perry and pushes them down, the Romney campaign would be thrilled.
It's some lunatic right-wing roller derby. Are Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry done after tonight?
You know, unfortunately, and it pains me to say this, but this may be the last day we have Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, no! Please, are the last days.
You know, maybe we'll invite her back just for kicks or something.
Yay! Oh, no, don't go. All right.
Yay!
David Schuster, the most interesting man in the world, with the best new radio show in the world on 1480 Washington, D.C., our affiliate there on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, did you say?
Just Saturday.
Okay.
My friend Mark Levine has Sunday, but it's a great station for a great new year, and thrilled, Stephanie, that you are at the heart of it on weekdays, and you know, so thrilled.
Nine to noon there in D.C. Thank you, David. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephanie. We're going to do TV together someday soon. You know?
Oh, really? Now, I haven't been told. Well, how teasy of you. All right, thank you, David Schuster. Love you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Bye, honey.
Take care.
Okay, bye, bye.
So I was right. Santorum is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say there was overflow at a Santorum event?
Are you on camera today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so people could see you burying your head in your hand every time he...
My face palm.
Santorum is number two.
Did a bunch of face plants.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. David Schuster is a serious journalist.
We're not
allowed to do Beavis and Butthead with him. Our listeners were doing Mystery Science Theater 3000 to the radio. So.
He also said Santorum was going to unload on his opponents.
Riding the wave. There's Surge. Yeah, he said a bunch of things that I...
Santorum is surging, and he's going to unload on his
opponents. He's a serious newsman.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour.
Oh boy.
Right. And we're only halfway through. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Rick Santorum still number two. No. But he is surging.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Everybody get it out.
And there was overflow at
really?
The event the other day.
Yeah.
Overflow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a Santorum overflow. That is not an easy
cleanup.
Unloading
on the other candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, then. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800. We had it all built up because we had Sirius newsman David Schuster on.
Yes.
And now we're having a little Santorum explosion.
I heard he unloaded on Marcus the other day.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Zoinks.
Wow.
I didn't know
he was into that.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tom in Phoenix. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Before I get to my main point, I want to ask, since this tour and a non-released album, any hard kind of copy,
yes,
is blowing up, when does the arena tour start?
Yes, we're moving into arenas soon.
Yeah.
Are you coming in Phoenix?
It's sold out.
Oh, I'm sorry, Precious. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know, you're right, it is.
I'm
you're
like right. A deadhead out there going, extra ticket.
You know, there you go.
Okay, three really brief points here. First off, this gang of idiots it just dawned on me the other day. This reminds me of the 96 election when Bob Dole won the nomination.
Bob Dole.
But begrudgingly.
Yeah, yeah. Only Bob Dole liked Bob Dole.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, they're like, well, okay, this is the best we got. So when Romney takes this, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be, well, this is kind of the best we got right now.
Yeah, so they do. Tom, they do. They really have a pattern of, like, it's sort of, oh, it's their turn, and somebody that nobody really likes, and then they're shocked when they lose.
Exactly. And then the Iowa caucus, no, it doesn't pick the winners. However, what it does is kind of does a Darwinian thing of who is going to be sifted out.
That's right, Tom. Another pundit said that, and that's very true. It's generally not about who wins. It's about who gets, you know, winnowed out.
Yeah, but why do the residents of one Midwestern state get to decide who gets to stay and who gets to go?
It got me because that's my home state, and I feel so sorry. But I still could have got contacts with people back there, and they just want to, they want this over with. They just can't believe the inundation of moronicness that's going on through there.
Yeah. No, this year has been special.
Yeah, I know. Thirdly, ever since Romney got into this, you know, some quote unquote seriously, all of a sudden out here, there's been a lot of billboards and everything. I'm a Mormon. See what Mormonism is all about. Like, all of a sudden now they have to explain themselves. Especially here in Arizona, the second highest Mormon population, next to Utah. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so now it's like, since they have, and basically this is for all the evangelicals who scream that Mormonism isn't really Christianity, it's a cult, you know, they're not a Christian. So there is this kind of thing that is going on. And that's the point one. Obama shouldn't, however, despite the fact that the Republicans are like, you know, well, this is the best we got, and it's easy for Obama just to rest on his laurels and go, well, you know, Clinton went through this. But at that time, the right-wing noise machine was only getting started. Now, being that it's the beast that it is, he still has to work just as hard.
That's right.
As well as helping the smaller candidates in Senate races and things like that. And the beautiful thing is that the backlash, you know, we got rid of Russell Pierce out here. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is finally under the microscope.
That's right.
Yep.
And, you know, Scott Walker is about ready to become, all that's going on, the backlash happening in Ohio.
Yep.
That's good. We need to build on that momentum. Remember, noise machine is screaming loud. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take no further questions. Thank you.
Very well spoken.
I thought he was going to do the big ending in Sexy Liberal, number one show in the country. Number one tour, number one album. Just saying.
Yeah, but he
the good guys are winning. The good
He's
guys
like
are winning.
Junior David Schuster.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. No, this is what the Tea Party and the Republican Party, this is what they've wrought, you know, on themselves, this whole clown car. 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce on the ground in Iowa as well, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sorry, lady.
I know you. You're
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God. I'm such a huge fan of yours.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. We will see in Portland Saturday for Sex and Liberal for the, it'll be the post Santorum Surge cleanup. So that'll be a fun show.
Yikes.
All right.
What? Quit showbiz?
Hey! All right. Charlie Pierce on the ground in Iowa. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Who have I been quoting all morning, Chris LaBoy?
Charlie Pierce.
Esquire.com. Hello. Hi, Charlie Pierce.
Hello. I am definitely on the ground here, flat on my back, by the way. Happy New Year.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Great stuff, seriously, this week on Esquire.com. It just, nobody covers this stuff like you do, Charlie.
Thank you. It's a beautiful caucus day here in Des Moines.
Yes. Yes. It is.
The sun is out. People are smiling.
Yeah.
You know, there are 8,000 reporters and 4,000 caucus goers ready to tell America what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So what are they going to do tonight, Charlie?
Honest to God, I don't know. I don't think, as they say at the racetrack, I don't think you can shine a flashlight between the three, between, you know, the Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, and Rick Santorum. And boy, is that a strange. Have you noticed that there are no single entendres left with Santorum?
No. We've already hit them all.
You can't say anything about the guy.
Yeah, did you hear
I heard David Gregory talking about a surging Santorum this morning.
Yeah, well, did you hear Wolf?
I injured myself leaping into the shower.
Okay. All right, well, you have to hear the Wolf Blitzer. Hang on.
Santorum's campaign says his surge to third place in the polls in recent days is unleashing a sudden spurt in his fundraising.
Oh, no! Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
That was yesterday.
A sudden spurt to number two.
Some people are just unfamiliar with our friend Mr. Google.
Exactly. Make friends with Mr. Google, won't you?
Mr. Google will keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Charlie, what? So I mean, this really is
almost a prophylactic effect, in fact.
Hey, Charlie Pierce with. Okay, now somebody was saying. I mean, this has been the largest number of undecided, or they could change their minds up till today. I mean, this would account for all the changing front runners every week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean that number that came out over the weekend that said 40 or 42 or whatever it was percent of the people who are planning a vote in the caucuses haven't picked a candidate yet. You know, it's a measure, I think, of dissatisfaction with the obvious front runner.
Yeah,
and a measure of the fact that the you know, the most motivated voters, which are outside of the Ron Paul people who will vote for Ron Paul and nobody else,
right?
The most motivated people going to the caucuses are Christian conservatives, and they've got three or four, you know, column A crazy, column B crazy, and column C crazy.
Right,
so,
right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they've got a bunch of different places to go.
Yeah, well, as my favorite unnamed, I can't remember, Republican strategist said, it's because all the candidates are so good this year. That's why it's so hard to pick.
Yes, that must be it.
That's it?
Yes.
But I mean,
but I'll tell you what is the honest to God biggest surprise to me out here is the level. And thank you, Citizens United. The level of the advertising out here is astonishing.
Yeah.
How much negative ads, not allegedly not affiliated with any campaign,
are going on right
here.
You can
see four and five commercials in a row on TV.
Well, isn't that part of, like, I was just saying, it's sort of the luck of the draw and timing that, you know, Rick Santorum just happens to be the latest not Mitt, and they don't really have time to run TV ads against him because no one took him seriously, right?
Yeah, Romney's, you know, his friend, the Friends of Romney pack, whatever it's called, Americans for America, or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
You know, they pretty much carpet bomb Gingrich, which is why, by the way, and we can all rejoice in this going forward, the old Newt is back. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah,
on CBS.
He's going negative now, frankly.
Yeah. Well, frankly, he got in the Wayback Machine and stepped out in 1993.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. He went after Romney on being a pro-abortion, right, or soft on abortion.
He called him a liar this morning on CBS.
Wow.
Wow.
And then he talked about, you know, well, you know, frankly, you know, liberal, you know, appointing liberal judges to appease we crazy liberals in Massachusetts when he was governor, and, you know, taxpayer-funded abortions and Romney Care and stuff. Oh, it's going to be hilariously fun. It's not going to make him president, but it's going to liven up the next couple of weeks.
Frankly, the whole positive strategy thing was, frankly, a mistake on my part. I should just be the bastard I've always been, frankly. And
yeah, well, basically, I mean, you knew that sooner or later he couldn't be Dr. Bruce Banner for everyone. Sooner or later, his eyes were going to start turning green, and people were going to have to get out of the way.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
Frankly, you wouldn't like me if I were angry.
I love your descriptions of what the different rallies are like. And one of my favorite lines this week: Senator Rand Paul, the extremely weird and not altogether bright son of Ron Paul, spent a half an hour belaboring Rick Santorum as a big government moderate. Yeah, that's what we said earlier. In what world is Rick Santorum a liberal? Which is what Ron Paul called him.
At the Paul family Thanksgiving dinner table.
And you make another really cogent point. You say it should be noted that Senator Paul was followed on that radio station by Pat Buchanan, who ran essentially the same campaign in 1992 that Ron Paul is running now, complete with nativist hooliganism and all that anti-Semitism stashed down in the apple cellar. Pat is now nuttier than a fox squirrel. It really is, right?
It's very similar to the Buchanan campaign. It's a little bit less fun because Ron Paul in his libertarianism is positively grim.
Yeah.
And Buchanan was really on kind of a lark and was basically taking out his Irish hostility to WASPs on George H.W. Bush. But the Ron Paul thing is a pretty grim march through libertarianism.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you describe the Rick Perry rally. The people have their faces frozen in a permanent wince, waiting for the now ritual stepping to begin in earnest.
Yes, I'm gonna go see Good Hair's doing a couple of events in downtown Des Moines this afternoon. I'm gonna go over and see what the sad flotsam of the campaign looks like. Because he's still got a ton of money. And my suggestion to him has always been, look, just send $5,000 to everybody going to the caucuses.
Yeah, there you go.
Buy their votes. It's much more dignified than the campaign you've been running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the difference, as you say, in the Ron Paul rallies, the supporters, you say there's no sense in this crowd that many of them plan to vote for anyone except for Ron Paul for president ever again in their lives. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah, and what I was saying.
I had three or four people tell me yesterday that if he doesn't get the nomination, they're going to write in Ron Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is incredible. Their ability to ignore all his completely whack job stances, right?
Well, I mean, let's not mock the regular Paul followers. There are a number of prominent liberals who are looking at Ron Paul saying, see, he's better than Obama on civil liberties, except he's not. That's the problem. Ron Paul is perfectly willing to let the state take away your civil liberties.
Yeah.
And I think, this not the state, capital S, but the state you live in. You know, and he's willing to devolve or essentially subcontract the abridgment of your civil liberties to state government rather than federal government. And I think you can probably ask the Occupy people how well that's worked out.
Well, right, and he's so
they're not getting busted by the feds. Yeah. They're getting busted by local police.
Right, and as you say, he's just so inconsistent, and then he wants, women to have virtually no rights to choose. I mean, it just, he would, as you say, overturn the 1964 Civil Rights Bill. I mean, it's an amazing array of stances when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, people can overlook that because he says things they like about the war, and he says what things they like about the Patriot Act, but that's not, I'm sorry, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the good side, though, the Dugars are here. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're
the massively breeding learning channel.
19 kids and counting people.
Oh yes, oh, right. Those people.
Yeah,
awesome.
They've hooked on with. I can't say it. They're traveling with the campaign of the former senator from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
That was the best.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, folks, there's always more room.
Always more room in the clown car this year.
Well,
you can't get enough
room. There's always more room in the back of the Santorum bus, I think.
Yes, uh-huh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the things I loved you wrote about this week, I mentioned it earlier, Charlie, is the, even on MSNBC, then comparing them using these displaced workers that, Mitt Romney laid off in his various, companies, comparing them to the Swift Boat campaign. And as you point out, the Swift Boat campaign was completely a lie. Bain Capital did gain control of that factory in Indiana. The company did lay these people off. Nothing the Swifties said about John Kerry was true. Sooner or later, we will grow as a nation and realize that a political smear doesn't become true just because enough people believe it to make it effective. Someday the truth of things will matter again. Just great stuff.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks. I mean, I was struck by that myself, and I think it happens when you cover campaigns and you start getting into the bubble and you start thinking like a consultant.
Right.
You know, and that's what consultants believe because that's what they get paid to believe. I mean, they're supposed to believe that if they concoct an effective smear and it works and their candidate wins, that there must be some truth to it. I think that's how consultants, sleep at night.
Speaking of which, you have the single best line about a consultant ever in this week's column. Frank Luntz was haunting the ice cream counter, possibly attempting to lie pistachio into thinking itself to be chocolate.
Frank's everywhere out here. Frank's, thank you for your mechanical applause.
Yes.
but Frank's Frank's been everywhere out here. This is basically people are out here covering this because it's a place to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you'll go to events. I mean, I went to the Santorum. I went mm-hmm. to this event.
Mixer?
I went to this event with the mm-hmm. former senator from Pennsylvania yesterday.
Yes.
And there had to be like 200 camera crews in this little diner up in Polk City.
Yeah. It really is a bit. I have no idea what the latest polling of the minute is, but well, what's your guess on tonight?
I think Willard probably hangs on and wins by an eyelash, and Paul and Santorum will arm wrestle for second place.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, the interesting thing is, it looks like everybody is pretty much writing New Hampshire off.
Yeah.
Going right, even Mitt's going right to South Carolina after this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, I think it was
Chris Matthews played. It was, and it's hard to top like really inauthentic stuff that Mitt Romney does, but wasn't he quoting from, I don't know, Amber Waves of Grain? And
no, he's quoting from the third verse of America the Beautiful.
Oh, uh-huh.
Oh, beautiful for Patriot's Dream. And he says it very, you know, meanwhile, he's got, his super PAC out there, cutting Newt Gingrich to ribbons anonymously all over the airwaves. But he's dreaming his Patriot Dream.
Yeah, I love your piece about him. He told a crowd in Council Bluffs that this election is about nothing less than the soul of America, that Barack Obama's alleged entitlement society would poison the very spirit of America. And you write, oh, Willard, you're so butch.
I mean, this is five minutes, by the way, after he made fun of Barack Obama for pursuing a messianic campaign strategy 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we have Willard Romney saving the soul of America. So, I don't think the consistency has ever been a great weight on his mind.
Yeah, and then you say that Santorum actually the best at kind of selling this, crap, for lack of a better word. First of all, my favorite, you quote Rick Santorum as saying, I hope that when I'm elected president of the United States, to never say the name of Barack Obama again, the idea of creating divisiveness for political advantage is beneath the dignity of the office of the President of the United States. I won't do it, and this president shouldn't do it. I mean, to try to paint Barack Obama as some nasty, divisive partisan is really kind of a stretch.
Yeah, he's been very quick to try to make that case. I don't know how you can possibly do that and have been awake the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what have people like, annoying people like me been screaming about for 3 years? That he wasn't divisive.
Yeah,
he wasn't
divisive enough.
Please, it's a little more.
Please, a little more divisive.
All right. Charlie Pierce, be careful of the Santorum wave. We don't want to...
The surge.
Be careful.
Which is still appearing in headlines out here.
Yes.
Please, consult Mr. Google.
Yeah.
He will save your life.
Yeah, we got Santorum rising.
We will talk to you next week from New Hampshire, where I think it may only be me and John Huntsman.
Awesome.
Oh, yay.
All right, Charlie, talk to you then. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com. Great stuff this week. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think you need some speech therapy.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Richard Wolf from MSNBC will join us next hour. We will talk about all things Iowa. And caucusy and Santorumy. Okay.
No,
I know.
No
okay.
More.
All right.
No mas.
All right. Sexy liberal kids off to Portland, Oregon. And this just in. We just had a caller that said Phoenix has been sold out. The February 25th show has been sold out for quite some time. We were like the blob. We had to bleed into even a bigger theater, into Symphony Hall.
Yep.
Just this morning, they've just, I believe it's only like 15 tickets. They just released a few press tickets in Phoenix. Go get it!
2011 marked the birth of our generation's greatest liberal comedy tour. In 2012, Phoenix, Arizona will witness the ascension of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to reaffirm its comedic immortality. On February 25th, Stephanie Miller.
I'm the devil
Devil's Candy!
And her sexy liberal players will bring their special brand of sweltering sexy liberal comedy to Symphony Hall. But it's a dry heat.
It's getting hot in here.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 602-262-7272. Come spite Sheriff Arpaio and pitch a tent with your fellow undocumented progressives.
Yeah.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Symphony Hall on February 25th. Phoenix, it would be a cardinal sin to miss this.
Oh, yo-ho. All right, get them. Those will be gone in, probably gone now. I probably should stop talking.
Yeah, stop.
Okay.
Stop.
All right. A few tickets left for Portland this Saturday. Get those quick. Philly going fast February 4th. And then we got Chicago March 3rd. That's going to be Super Saturday because it's right before Super Tuesday. And those tickets are also
super.
Chicago bitches be crazy. So I would get those fast. Albuquerque almost sold out for March 31st. Madison is sold out in April. Then you got to go to Minneapolis. All going fast. Boston in June. L.A. in July. Seattle in September.
And maybe some more dates to come.
Maybe in Uzbekistan.
Mm. Why is it when I put my foot down, as someone moves it?
Yeah.
They know that's it. I can't do this schedule. All right.
One more. Okay, five more.
All right.
Whatever.
And thank you for buying, making the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour album number one on iTunes and Amazon over the holidays. And Billboard Magazine.
Hot shot debut.
Superstar.
Now you have to crash through the set.
Yeah.
Smell your armpits.
Exactly. All right. Remember, every time you buy it, a right wing head explodes. And now endorsed by Fox News. Even Fox News has to say it. Don't you, Fox News?
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Why do they keep having John on there? Haven't they figured it out yet?
He's like ninja bitch slaps them, and they don't even realize it. John's so nice, you don't realize that you've been bitch slapped.
Right. No.
Okay. That's what I mean. They're too dumb to realize how bad they've just made them look. All right. Because we're all excited. It's Iowa night tonight.
Mm-hmm. Come and listen to a story about a man named Mitt, a born millionaire who was always full of it. Mm-hmm. And in Iowa, he was shooting for a quorum, and up through the ground came a surging sandworm. Mixed, that is.
Yeah.
Black gold. Texas Six. Tea.
Ow.
Kind of. Well, the first thing you know, Mitt's in the winning chair. The campaign said, Mitt, get away from there. A real primary is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the bus and they went to Miami. Florida, that is. Right-wing tools, biker bars. The primary hillbilly. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Bachman and Perry.
Aww.
And we would like to thank those folks for their insanity. You're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of the crazy GOP. Leave your brains at the door. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Hey, doggy. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Yay, Mike and Raleigh.
All right. Aw, speaking of poor Rick Perry, he's talking to yesterday compared it to running a marathon. Unfortunately, he started with his sneakers tied.
And, I run.
Rick Perry yesterday.
Oops.
Rick Perry.
There.
Rick. Oh, yes, that was the shoelaces tied, right. And now here's Rick Perry. Okay.
I've run a marathon before. Mm-hmm. I felt great at mile one. And as a matter of fact, I felt pretty great at mile 17 and 18. At mile 21, you kind of start hitting that wall a little bit. And we'll see who's still running at mile 21. I finished my marathon, and I expect to finish this marathon as well.
Sure. And maybe shoot a couple coyotes on the way that's trying to eat my puppy.
I just effing shot myself.
Right now, he's just pretty much campaigning in Perry, Iowa. That's the only city he think he can win.
That's hilarious.
Bless his heart.
I know.
Well, bless your heart.
I think he was actually putting up signs himself in Perry, Iowa.
Aw. Little feller.
Sad. I know.
That story was such a load of... Remember? Yeah. Who goes jogging with a... What was it, a Ruger? That's like a big gun, right? I'm a gun expert since going to Montana on my vacation and shooting clay pigeons. Tell you what. That's a big-ass gun.
I don't blame him for carrying a gun to protect his dog from coyotes, but... You really don't want to run
with it in your waistband?
Weapon. No.
I think he probably has shot
trouble.
Himself.
I think.
Probably in the. And normally he just steps on his own when he's trying to make a point. But still, he said he went running and shot a coyote.
A Ruger?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to run with a puppy. Okay. The whole story just annoyed me.
Really? Yeah. Not supposed to run with a puppy?
Oops.
No. Puppy, their bones are too soft. All right. I just didn't buy the whole story. Okay. Yeah, oops. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Richard Wolf and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, feeling good, even under the Santorum surge.
No.
That's why I wore scuba gear today. Santorum. I forgot the headline that there was Santorum rising this morning. And, you know, yikes.
Oh, boy.
It's not safe.
Get your wellies. Wear your wellies.
All right. Iowa caucuses tonight. Richard Wolf from MSNBC.
Wear your rubbers.
No.
Oh, dear.
What? It's called wellies. Wellings and boots.
1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number 2. Free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice Deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Go get it. Get the album.
In April 2011, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour launched in Madison, Wisconsin. Since then, over 18,000 fans have experienced America's hottest, most acclaimed, and sought-after live comedy show. Stephanie Miller and her Sexy Liberal players are proud to announce their first live tour album, which Billboard magazine ranked a hotshot debut. Now, everyone can experience the phenomenal comedy trio of John Fugelsang.
When they go teabagging, it's a couple of big mouths controlling all the nuts.
Hal Sparks.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else.
And Stephanie Miller.
She's super freaky.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to iTunes or Amazon.com to download Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1, for your very own piece of progressive comedy history.
We love you, Sexy Liberals! Good night!
Own the comedy album ranked number 1 on both iTunes and Amazon.com. And get some sexy liberal comedy into your life today.
Yay! All right. And we will see you live in Portland on Saturday. There are a few tickets left there. And apparently, Chris, there's going to be a major national newspaper story on Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, I'll see
which
it
we've
when
announced
I
several
it.
Times. And then
I'll believe it when I see it.
Gotten bumped.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be this week.
How many times have you been told that before?
Yeah. Today, I asked when it's going to run. When will this run in the USA? And they keep saying today.
You see.
All right.
And you yelled at me for hinting.
All right. So we'll let you know if and when that happens. Okay. So what was I going to say? What?
It ran in Canada yesterday, eh?
Hey.
No, it did not.
Canada
it
yesterday.
It did not. All right. So Iowa caucuses tonight. We're very excited. And it's you really can't write this stuff. All the headlines, Santorum rising, Santorum surge, our personal favorite, Wolf Blitzer.
Oh.
What? Well, it's...
Santorum's campaign says his surge to third place in the polls in recent days is unleashing a sudden spurt in his fundraising.
No, Blitz.
No, Blitz. No. No, no, no.
No, Blitz.
I think you're that talking, Santorum bubble's going to burst.
You do?
Yeah.
That's talking apples and Santorum.
So far, our predictions this morning from Charlie Pierce and David Schuster, both they think Romney. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's
going to
be
Romney.
Yeah. And Rick Santorum, number 2. And he is, because he's floated to number 2, as you know. And that's the rising Santorum that is being foisted upon Iowa today.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right. So... You know, that damn iPhone, I can't, you know, Siri,
it?
Well, you know how many times I've tried to get Siri to fire you.
She couldn't even fire me over the holiday.
Yeah, I know it. And I had extra time with her. And
yeah.
Then, okay.
No,
this story,
you decided to go do some winter Olympic sports.
Indeed,
on
I
your
did.
Vacation.
Mm-hmm. I did the Iditarod.
Yeah.
So what? And a biathlon. iPhone tells British boy, shut the up, you ugly.
Oh.
It's a word for female
well,
error.
Well, it's pronounced area. Differently in England. It doesn't mean... necessarily exactly the same thing.
Okay. All right. A lad of 12 tried out the new iPhone 4S, was stunned when it told him, shut the up, you ugly. he asked how many people are there in the world. It turned out the apologetic staff at the store told him that pranksters had tampered with the phone's setup instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, you can use the username. See, they made that the username.
Yeah.
Just for those of you planning any iPhone pranks on your friends. The store said we launched an investigation. The handset will be going back to Apple for diagnostic tests. Oh, that's like the threat of military school or something.
Yeah.
Siri?
Sending you to military school.
You're going back to... Going back to Apple from time to
time.
No, no.
Tests.
No.
Anything but that.
Not diagnostic, because they're probably like, yeah, proctological kind of test. No, please do not send me.
It's like when HAL 2000 dies in 2001.
Please, I will be good. I will not call you up anymore. Do not send me to Apple for diagnostic testing.
I know things have not been quite right with me lately. I really think you should take a stress pill and think things over.
All right. I'm not saying that the brightest people in the world are not to be found at Walmart. However, in Lexington, North Carolina, a man tries to use a $1 million bill at Walmart. This bill is worth...
$1 million.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million.
Police say a North Carolina man insisted his $1 million note was real when he was buying a $476 worth of items at Walmart.
I got change. Can you break a million? I didn't think they had that in Monopoly, a $1 million bill.
He said he had to get to Iowa to vote for Rick Santorum. Okay. Largest bill in circulation, just FYI, fun facts, GTK, $100.
$100, yeah.
Biggest bill.
What?
What? And now, a story about a crocodile. Okay. I just something different than a bear.
Yeah.
Just, it's just a good information to know that when a crocodile steals your lawnmower, the way to distract him is with kangaroo meat.
What?
This is sort of an everyday relatable
story. Is it like Wally Gator getting up and wearing a fedora on his hind legs and stealing your lawnmower?
See, when Rick Santorum rises, that is a sign of the end of the world, of baby of alligators walking on their hind legs eating baby children.
Eating baby children, yeah.
While mowing the lawn.
Exactly. Wearing a fedora.
Was Lippy the Lion and Hardy Har Har close behind?
No, this is out of Sydney, Australia.
Oh.
A giant saltwater crocodile named Elvis.
Bonza.
With apparent affinity for household machinery, charged an Australian reptile park worker before stealing his lawnmower. He got his jaws around.
How much did he charge him?
Got his jaws around the top of the mower, picked it up, and took it underwater with him. They lured Elvis to the opposite end of the lagoon with a heaping helping of kangaroo meat.
Oh, Elvis.
So that's how you get your lawnmower.
I would thought of peanut butter and bacon.
Banana sandwich.
Hey, because it's an Elvis. Yes. No. Oh, no. Oh, no, Elvis. No, not the lawnmower.
Ah, bloody hell. He shot the TV again. Shot the telly.
All right. Boy, Newt Gingrich, by the way, with irony deficient like most Republicans, no sense of what he's... This is him talking about the president.
I watch Obama and the Congress today, and I just think, I mean, this is like second graders. It is so childish and so like... And for the president's staff to announce he's now going to govern without Congress, well, that means he's not going to govern. He's going to be a candidate for an entire year. Mm. He shouldn't take his salary. Mm. He shouldn't pretend he's president. He's just a candidate because he's not doing the job of the president.
Frankly, I didn't get to ride in the front of the plane, frankly.
I don't...
Because you're all childish.
A historian with no sense of history, really, about... Oh, for instance, if someone had shut Congress down in a huff because they didn't get to ride in the front of Air Force One, and then they got it up on the major... newspaper in a baby diaper because he was so childish.
You'd think a historian would know about his own personal history.
Apparently, he's been doing too much paleontology.
Oh,
yeah. And has not been studying his history lately. The president is so childish. I see for not working with this is the guy that shut the entire.
He's in a tantrum.
Yes.
A fit of pique.
Yes.
And Obama's been bending over backwards to the Republicans, giving virtually everything they want, and still not enough.
Oh, boy. All right. So we were talking earlier about the, again, politics is always a tough business, but there's a difference between swift voting, which was totally lies, built on lies. All. I love those guys. Remember, they were guys that weren't even in the same war, on the same boat, and as John Kerry, and they somehow.
From the Peloponnesian War.
I remember we were outside of Pyongyang. What?
What?
Oh, no. Dang it.
No. Okay, but the difference is these workers they're using, laid off under Bain Capital, these are real workers that were laid off
under
real companies that Mitt Romney took over.
Yep.
Yes.
Corporations are people, my friend. Mm-hmm. Really nasty, selfish people.
Speaking to a reporter to reporters in Des Moines, a worker laid off by a company owned by Bain Capital accused former Bain CEO Mitt Romney of being out of touch with the concerns of average Americans. You think?
Hmm.
Randy Johnson and more than 250 of his fellow workers at a Marion, Indiana plant, American Pad and Paper, lost their jobs after Bain decided to close the plant amid a labor dispute. Hmm. Oh, it all sounds so familiar.
Hmm. It's going to be the bane of his existence, yeah. I think. it's really bad for us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, I think Romney really didn't care about the workers. He said he personally reached out to Romney during the labor dispute. He said it was all about profit over people in addition to the layoffs and eventual bankrupting of American Pad and Paper. Bain Capital under Romney's leadership drove several other firms into bankruptcy and caused thousands of layoffs.
I'm so proud of you for not pointing out the fact that his name was Randy Johnson.
Guys, hey. Guys, he's got a Randy Johnson. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's Newt's nickname, isn't
it? Still going to be... That's still going to be overwhelmed by the rising Santorum in Iowa, is all I'm saying. All right. Wow. Looky here, Jim. Ohio earthquake linked to fracking injection wells.
Told ya.
Well, except everywhere in Fox News, there will be no apparent connection at all. A New Year's Eve, a magnitude 4.0. Yeah, that happens all the time in Ohio. What? A magnitude 4.0 earthquake struck northeastern Ohio, a second quake to strike the region in a week. Saturday's earthquake, which occurred in an area not typically known for this type of natural disaster, is being tracked to back to fluid injection wells at a Youngstown fracking site. According to the Akron Beach Beacon Journal, the quake was the 11th over the last eight months in Mahoning County, all within 2 miles of the injection
it's
wells.
It's like when you put WD-40 on it. Stuck door or window or something. That's
it unstucks it.
Yeah. No, I was in Montana for Christmas, unseasonably warm. They were saying, like, a lot of ski places all over the country are freaking out. It's, you know, not enough snow, blah, blah, blah. It's just...
You know where all the snow went?
Where?
Down here to Southern California.
Yes.
Big Bear is totally open.
It's just, if you don't... And it's like 85 in L.A. now.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, if you don't believe there's climate change going on and that stuff like fracking affects the environment, then you're crazy.
These smug commercials they run on MSNBC of all places, but oh, it's completely safe.
Yeah,
we go deeper than the groundwater. Nothing could possibly go. What?
Yeah. Well, we gave some of you know, the sexy liberal one in when we did Syracuse went to the anti-fracking. Ask the people up there when your tap water lights on fire.
People who say their water lights on fire. It's water. It can't catch fire.
Kablamo.
Oops. As Rick Perry would say. 19 minutes after the hour.
Herman Cain was on Piers Morgan last night.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachman, I see, was at a Rock the Caucus event.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's that, Marcus?
Which Bachman?
Oh, Michelle. Did I say Marcus?
Oh, okay.
I meant Michelle.
Rock the Caucus!
Okay.
What I do for Limp Horner.
Super. Okay, 19 minutes after the hour. Back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, yeah, they caught the guys setting all the car fires in Los Angeles here.
Good.
Yes. Dozens of suspected arsons, like 50, that destroyed parked cars, storage buildings, rattled much of Los Angeles here over New Year's weekend.
Yeah.
The suspect resembled a person of interest captured on surveillance video. The man believed to be 20 to 30 years old, had a receding hairline and a shoulder-length ponytail, for which he should
that's
be arrested.
Steven Seagal.
No, it's comic.
He should be arrested just for that.
He looked like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Balding with a ponytail?
Yeah.
No.
Worst arsonist ever.
Do not pass go directly to jail. Okay. Deirdre in Annapolis on Mitt Romney. Hey, Deirdre.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. So anyway, today Savannah Guthrie was interviewing Romney on the Today Show, and three things came across. His sons revealed that he is the cheapest human being on earth.
Yes.
I thought was nifty.
Yes.
The second thing was she said to him, so tell us what set you apart from the other candidates. And he said, I'm just a regular guy, just like all the folks. And I went, uh-huh, with $168 million. Sure,
yeah.
That regular guy. And then the third thing.
Yeah, well, remember he told that group of people, I'm unemployed too.
Yeah, you know what? Anyway.
Yeah.
So then the third thing, she said to him, so what have you done job creation-wise in, let's say, the last 5 years? And
yeah.
He said, I reject that question.
Well then. Exactly.
There
it's a bad question.
Go.
It's
so
not
that's
the...
That's what President Obama should do during the debate.
Yeah.
I reject that question.
Yeah, there's no bad answers, only bad questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to mention bad Republicans.
All right. Deirdre, are you listening on our brand new Washington, D.C. Station?
You know what? I still listen to you on my computer.
All right. Well, that's fine.
And I have you on XM on the car, but I can't get into the car until 10 o'clock because they don't broadcast your first hour.
Listen, I don't need to know your tawdry details. All I need you to do is listen to 1480 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
No, I'm not close enough to get
right.
there.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, honey.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Annapolis is on the Eastern Shore. So.
I don't need to know all your details. All right. Because I was thinking, what time does she get in the car? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay. Hey, look at sexy liberal Aretha Franklin is engaged.
Yep.
She was at the Detroit show. Seemed to be laughing her arse off, I'm told. Go, Aretha.
Go, Aretha.
Yeah. She is engaged to longtime friend William Willie Wilkerson. That seems really redundant.
William Willie Wilkerson?
William Willie Wilkerson.
Willie Wilkerson. That name sounds familiar.
Willy Wonka.
Why do I know? Is he famous for something?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Oh.
I don't think so. I'm hoping maybe she'll ask me to sing at her wedding.
Oh,
I asked her.
And the whole lobster band.
Yeah. We'll send her the tape of you singing I Need a Lover.
Okay. Just saying, Chevy's a fan. Chevy listens. Went to Sexy Liberal. Why not?
All right. You want to be sweet.
We actually had a dream. Aisha and I, Aisha Tyler, did that show. We wanted to sing Sisters Doing It for Themselves with Aretha. Did she cooperate?
No.
But we'd still be happy to tell some jokes at her wedding. It's going to be in Miami Beach, reportedly. The 69-year-old joke, no, I'm not pregnant. Oh, see, she's funny. She's a funny Sexy Liberal. Let me take another moment to say, go, Aretha.
Go, Aretha.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. In other wedding news, figure skater Johnny Weir marries boyfriend.
That's
finally
right.
Finally found the right girl. What?
Well, that's what Brian Boitano would do.
What? An ice skater?
What?
Has the gay on him? What?
Huh?
I'm shocked.
He married Victor Voronov.
Easy for you to say. Yeah,
it was
a whirlwind
on
romance.
On New Year's Eve, he said, I'm married. He tweeted on Saturday. He clarified the wedding will be in the summer, but all the official stuff is done now. What? I don't understand.
Marcus is designing the outfit.
No, Marcus is at the Rock the Caucus.
Caucus. That was Michelle.
Well, I know, but he's there with her at the Rock, because he's feeling super. It's caucus day.
Thanks for asking.
And she won the last time.
I'm super!
And he waved. Remember, he waved after she won last time.
Be better
no!
In the bay. I'm feeling super.
Oh,
nothing but me.
He looked like Homecoming
Everything
Queen.
Is super ah! When you're, don't you think I look you in this corn dog?
With this corn dog in my mouth. Okay.
Deep in my mouth.
She is. They're at a Rock the Caucus.
Rock the Caucus.
Yeah.
Every day is caucus day for me.
He
Marcus caucus.
He rocks the caucus every day.
Don't come knocking it. We're rocking the caucus. 29 minutes to the hour. Richard Wolf next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's extremely inappropriate banter. And that's just the way I like it.
Yeah.
You're doing it right.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour.
This morning's been filled with inappropriate banter,
well,
with Santorum surging and all.
And rising. All right, 34 minutes after the hour. We have a serious journalist on the phone. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The book is Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback. Richard Wolff, journalist extraordinaire, joins us now. Good morning, Richard.
Who's the serious journalist you got on the line? Thank you.
He's coming on after you. Okay.
All right.
Whee!
You're wearing your wellies as you wade into the sanatorium.
Boy, the Obama...
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Richard, you know, the Obama comeback at this point, just stand back and watch the Republican Party disembowel themselves, am I right?
Isn't it amazing? Look, there's a reason I call this book Revival. There are these huge swings in the pendulum. We saw it through the course of last year from, you know, the lame duck session when he was, you know, around the start of 2011, the president's approval numbers were about 50%, and he was a shoo-in, and the Republicans were all in disarray by the middle of the year. He's a complete disaster. Republicans have got the upper hand, and then by the end of the year again, Republicans have fallen apart. And we're at this point of maybe people are too confident about the president and too negative on the Republicans, but certainly they are in a whole heap of trouble and a heap of misery. Not least the one, Willard Mitt Romney.
You know, I know that no one has had as much access inside the White House as you have. I've got to ask what is the feeling and the mood about this Republican field? I mean, can they just not believe their luck? What's that?
Apart from whiplash? Look, there. If they're being serious, and there's plenty of times when they are being serious, they'll say this Republican Party has moved to the far extremes of political opinion in this country. They're way out of the mainstream, and that's what we've been seeing. Now, that leads you to all sorts of unserious moments where they just cannot believe their luck in seeing Newt Gingrich come up, because for him, he peaked 2 weeks too early. Who knew that 2 weeks was his entire lifespan? I think even, you know, those little things, those cicadas have a longer lifespan than that. But, and they're more attractive. So there's that. But this is, they're expecting a very close election, and they are still convinced that Romney will win the nomination. I am not as convinced as they are, but
really,
I don't see it personally, but that's what they're preparing for. In any case, they think even with some of the wackier candidates out there, they point out 47% of the country voted against the president the last time around, and he won in a landslide, which means that they're starting out with a good 45%, 48% of the country that is going to vote against him, which means it's a tight race.
It's a 4-point race. Well, you know, and Richard, that's the thing that, you know, I'm reading more and more is that conservatives, of course, are fearing a 2008 again, and it does already have similarities, right? They seem to always nominate someone that most of them hate, you know, like Mitt Romney or John McCain, right?
It is hard to believe that, you know, if you could create in some kind of evil scientist political laboratory the love child of John Kerry and John McCain, you might come up with Mitt Romney, because here you've got someone who is even more out of touch with what regular Americans are going through. Even as he says, he understands about the middle class because he's part of the middle class, but his houses, his property are even more in number and bigger than John McCain's ever were. He is less impressive on the stump and less decisive, less consistent, far less consistent as a candidate than John Kerry was. And so, you know, Romney, there's a reason why Romney right now is polling less than he was 4 years ago in Iowa when he lost. If he wins tonight, he may well win with less support than he lost with 4 years ago. That is not a strong nominee by any stretch of the imagination.
Wow, Richard, interesting stuff. Now, so you said you're not convinced he's going to be the nominee, though.
No, I'm not.
Who are you thinking?
I think Republicans, you cannot shoehorn a candidate into a party just because it's their turn or the elites think that's what should happen. And we saw that with Democrats last time around. I think Republicans now are even want greater change than Democrats did 4 years ago. They want an insurgent. They don't want an incumbent. And Mitt Romney, to this day, right now, is running as a pseudo-incumbent, someone who just deserves it because he's better, more experienced, more respectable, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
They are in a they want their screaming, passionate guy and for a start, this one's going to run and run and run, right? Super Tuesday is in early March. Even then, you don't get through a majority of delegates. So we're going to have lots of front runners pop up and down. I used to see, in the first instance, someone's going to drop out, which means that another 5-8 points will go to one of these other insurgent candidates, whether it's Santorum or a Gingrich. I would say between the two of them, and yes, there's even time for Rick Perry to come back, there will be a someone who can beat 25 points. 25 points is such a low bar that Mitt Romney is going to at very least have a very damaging, protracted struggle for the nomination, and I think stands every chance of really losing it.
Wow. So what are you hearing the latest from Iowa, and what is your prediction?
Well, the Santorum surge seems to be real, and he is a fit with Iowa conservatives, the social conservatives, the Christians who show up to vote. You know, and their organization takes the place of his lack of organization. There's a reason that Karl Rove wanted to get the churches so involved with Bush's campaigns, because they have some of the characteristics of the union folks on the Democratic side. They know how to organize and mobilize and get people out. So if you lack that kind of structure, as Santorum surely does, then the churches can do it for you. And Mitt Romney only got 25,000-30,000 votes in total last time around. So that's all you really need to win it now. And the churches can do that in Iowa. So I think Santorum, with the surge, with the others not having enough time to put up those negative ads, is really well placed to upset this race. Whether he goes on from there is another question.
Right.
I don't think he wins in South Carolina. I think that you end up looking in Florida and South Carolina at, yes, Rick Perry or Newt Gingrich coming back here.
Wow. That is my sense, too. It's interesting. We've had two other guests this morning that both predict that Romney's going to pull it out in Iowa. But, I have that sense, too, that, you know, to me, it's like the craziest right-winger usually wins. And I think you're right. It's like luck of the draw. He happens to be the latest front-runner, right? That like, as you say, that there's no time to run negative ads against like they did against Gingrich, right?
Right. And he has less of the baggage. The one factor that I think has changed it for Romney just towards the end of the year is these races don't go on in isolation. As the president seemed to be a stronger political figure towards the end of the year, you saw Republicans think, well, maybe we need someone who's a bit of a stronger candidate. Maybe it's not going to be quite so easy as we thought to beat this president. So Romney picked up a couple of points. But in the end, they just think this president's an amateur and a buffoon and an idiot, and anyone can, even Ron Paul can beat him. So the electability argument isn't that strong because they're not rational. They don't see what this president can do and what his campaign is building.
Well, and I think, the other thing happening, Richard, it seems to me, is, this really was a big win on the and really a debacle for the Republicans on the payroll thing at the end of the year, right?
It was a debacle, and it promises to be another one in just a couple of months, because remember, they're going to come back and discuss this all over again. There's no reason why the president should hold out. The debate, the ideological debate about tax rises versus spending cuts is going to be played out all over again, and he won last time. They're in a bad negotiating position. They're in a bad political position for public opinion, and it's going to unfold right in the middle of these primaries before even Super Tuesday. So, I think it's actually healthy for the country to debate these things. If the voters see this playing out, the kind of sweeping cuts these Republican candidates are looking for, closing down entire departments, the kind of cuts we've never, ever seen in American history before. This is an extreme time, but is it a crisis? Are they making it into a crisis? That's the question that has to be unfolded for people to see. Maybe Republican voters will say, you know what, we want $1 trillion of cuts, we want to close down 5 departments, and Ron Paul's the guy. And maybe as they do that, other voters are going to say, I think we still need a Department of Education,
Richard, we've heard this from time to time, this thing floated about whether they really could have a brokered convention. I mean, is it going to get that crazy this year?
I don't think so. People keep talking about that. I just don't see it. I think you're going to get a winner, but it will take a long time. We got a winner last time in the Democratic side, and that one dragged on and on. It could easily go all the way through to California, which is in June. And again, if you've got these kind of peaks and troughs of this race where they go every 2 weeks. Imagine how many front runners we're going to get between now and March, never mind between now and June. So
it's like a merry-go-round. Everyone will get a chance again, right?
Yeah, we've been through the phony war. Now it's only tonight is the first time it starts to get real. So, yeah, people now are going to say, yeah, I know Newt Gingrich earned a truckload of money at Freddie Mac. So what? He's a real conservative, and I like him again. You have 41% of Iowa voters who've been paying attention, who say they're undecided today, when typically you'd be in the sort of 5-6, maybe 3-point margin for undecided voters. That's a vast amount. This could be not even a close race tonight if they all break the same way.
Yeah, it's like going back to horrible exes, right? It's like, well, now that I've dated, you know, a bunch more holes than you, now you don't look so bad again. You know,
horrible exes. That's the reality show we're going to make of this whole thing.
Richard, you know, your prediction on tonight is who?
Santorum tonight.
And then second, Romney or Paul?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Santorum pulls it out by 5 or 10 points.
Wow.
And then it's a contest between Paul and Romney. If you put a gun to my head, I'd say Romney takes a second, but with less than he got last year, and Paul is pretty close behind him, but that could change. And then Romney wins in New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida go to Perry or Gingrich, depends on what happens in the next debates and over the next couple of weeks.
Wow. It's a cattywampus year, but a good fun for us. Richard Wolf, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Richard Wolf with MSNBC. Wow, it's not just a Santorum surge. That's a Santorum tidal wave. That's a big cleanup tomorrow.
Santorum's going to pull it out.
Wow-wee. Yikes. And woo.
Hey, watch out for the Santorum dump.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was Santorum rising, and now it's just a big frothy mess. 46 minutes.
That Santorum bubble's going to burst.
Yikes. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Jet suit and fill up the radar screen.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus. Hi, buddy.
Hey, welcome back, Mama.
Yay! For WVKO, 1580 AM in Columbus, we're back.
Yay, Ohio's progressive talk.
Yes.
Hey, I was just curious, is like late June 2012, could there be something happening in Columbus?
I don't know. Stop dropping hints that I don't even exactly know what you're talking about yet.
Really?
But anyway, I don't know if people know, your name is actually Tom. Tommy in Columbus.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been with us for day one when we were Good Morning Columbus, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close to it. It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
I just have one question to the Boise Jim.
Yes.
That I find particularly irritating about Mitt Romney is his laugh. It's like that forced thing. When you force air out of your lungs, you go, ha. You know, it's not like a belly laugh. It's like that, oh, that's funny, ha.
Yeah, well, because he looks like clip art. He actually laughs like they do in, like, the you know, the comics.
Ha, comic
exclamation
bubble.
Point.
Yeah.
Ha. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. It's an amazing lifelike...
I am human clip art.
Robot.
It's an amazing simulation.
It's the Rombot.
Ha. I find that amusing. Ha.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's
and
tonight.
When he curses, it's like, you know, tic-tac-toe, symbol, star.
And he actually says something. It sounds like... like the bird in Charlie Brown.
Or he sounds like Q-Bert.
Hubert.
All right. Yep, it's tonight, kids. The Iowa caucuses.
Come and listen to a story about a man named Mitt, a born millionaire who was always full of it. And in Iowa, he was shooting for a quorum, and up through the ground came a surging Santorum.
Yeah.
Mixed, that is. Black gold, Texas tea. Kinda. Well, the first thing you know, Mitt's in the winning chair. The campaign said, Mitt, get away from there. A real primary is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the bus and they went to Miami. Florida, that is.
Yep.
Right-wing tools, biker bars. The primary hillbillies. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Bachman and Perry. And we would like to thank those folks for their insanity. You're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of the crazy GOP. Leave your brains at the door. You all come back now, you hear?
Yeehaw! Thank you, Mike. Wow. Yeah, I just, my dad in Goldwater, as I've said many times, they would not recognize this the particular embarrassment that is the Republican field this time. Somebody, looky here, someone just sent me back in time from the South Bend Tribune. You know, my daddy went to Notre Dame.
That's
it's
right.
A picture of my daddy.
Aww.
Look, everybody on Ustream.
Is that little ugly wolf child in there, you?
No, it's a different, entirely different ugly wolf child that is not me. I, as you know, was too ugly a wolf child to be taken on the campaign trail.
Right. There's that one unfortunate
picture. I'm going to attribute
picture.
It to their decency, their unpalin-like decency, that they would not subject me to that, to being a campaign prop, or I was just too ugly.
There was that one picture of you up on stage, I think at the Republican National Convention.
I was not there.
No?
Are you kidding?
They held you up somewhere where your eyes were crossed.
If they brought me to the, then it would have been a broken convention. They would have been like, oh, no.
There was one picture of you up on stage with your eyes crossed.
It was a different stage. Okay. They were going to bring me up on that big stage.
It was a touring show of Ripley's.
Oh, look at this.
The two-headed baby. No.
It's a picture
it's the
of
Miller
my
child.
Daddy.
The Miller child.
You know, I think he kissed other babies on the road just to kiss, like, pretty babies.
Yeah.
So he probably, like, when he got home, he probably just scrunched up his face and, dear, make sure a fang doesn't get me. I gotta be on Meet the Press tomorrow.
Ah, she hit a vein.
Yeah, you give your dad puncture wounds.
Trying to kiss
She hit
him.
An artery.
Get the gray fangs away from me. Political campaigns have always captured the media's attention. In the 1964 presidential election, Barry Goldwater was the Republican candidate. His running mate, William E. Miller. Here, Miller is shown visiting Michiana residents on the steps of St. Joseph County Courthouse in downtown South Bend. Aww. How about that? There's... Okay.
Aww.
Thank you for that nostalgia. That was from Pat from Chicago sent me that.
Cool.
Oh, hey, looky here. The GM of our Columbus station on the phone. It's the big boss for me, Gary. Gary Richards in Columbus. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys.
Thanks so much for having us back. WVKO, 1580 AM. Woohoo! Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. We are so glad to have you back in the town where you started out. Third time around, and third time's going to be a charm this time here for Progressive Talk in Columbus.
That's right.
And we're very excited to have you back on, and hopefully we'll see you in town soon.
Absolutely. You know, we used to, I think it was only Anchorage and you went on the first day, but it was too early and they were too frozen to call. So it was all people from Columbus that called the first few weeks of the show. It's hilarious. And
we've got so many people calling us, telling us how happy they are to have you back up here.
Mama loves her some Columbus. You know I do. I will see you soon, Garrett. Thanks so much, honey.
All right, great. Thank you.
All right. Gary goes. Gary Richards.
Yay.
As Michelle Bachman would say.
He has exquisite taste in broadcasting.
Boy, howdy. Shucky darn.
Yay!
Jim, what's in the discard bin for
apples and oranges.
Catchphrases that aren't needed anymore by fallen Republican candidates.
999.
Okay. What else
bin.
Is in the bin?
Yeah.
Victor the Victory Elephant. With one ear all dog-eared.
Yeah, those were in the half-price bin even...
As we left the convention last time.
As we left the Republican National Convention.
That was a bad sign. At the airport, they were in the half-price bin.
That's right.
Yay, look, it's Victor the Victor. Well, probably not.
We've lost
all
already.
Right, we picked McCain.
That one.
And now they may pick a lobbyist. Newt Gingrich, who knows?
Frankly.
Who knows? But that's where I...
Let's all vote with our lobbyist. Let's all vote with our lobbyist. Let's all vote with our lobbyist and get ourselves a treat.
Suddenly, I'm hungry for hot dogs and popcorn.
And a soda with legs.
Yes.
What? Oh, my God. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, they are the Cialis commercial. Look at this. Angelina Jolie gave Brad Pitt a waterfall for Christmas.
Can you do that?
Yes. Well, she gave him land and a waterfall that he now will build a house around. in
oh, kind of like Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling
Yes,
they
exactly.
already have 10,000 kids. Right. I don't think they need
exactly.
to be
Exactly. I'm guessing they'll be twin bathtubs.
Huh. All right.
All right.
No, I don't think you get that many kids just in twin bathtubs.
No. 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 All right. Be careful, everybody, of the Rising Santorum, please. Wear a hazmat suit and a helmet tonight. And we will see you tomorrow for the wrap-up after the Iowa caucus. With Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
That's right.
Sexy Liberal himself. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.